All right, it's time for children's church. So if you are going to children's church, if you'll follow Miss Becky over here, she's standing by the wall to my left and to your right. Those of you who are staying in the service, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. I want to thank Buddy for filling in for me again last week. Did he do a good job? Okay, good, good. That's good to hear. Also, I didn't forget. I just kind of wanted to wait for a more appropriate time. There's one more praise. Today is my bride's. It's a day that she'll cherish for the rest of her life. 29 years ago today, I made her the luckiest woman in all the world. And she became my bride. Ricky, she's been hard to handle at times, brother. Can I get a testimony? But I wouldn't change it for anything. Amen? Amen. Again, Matthew chapter 15. Church, it never fails that when I go on vacation, that something happens while I'm there, and the Lord speaks to my heart with a message. Now, there was a time when I stood at the beach looking over the thousands of people enjoying their time together, and the thought came of what is going to take place when the seven seals of tribulation are broken. And I realized that these people, they're not going to make it. I mean, there were thousands and thousands as far as the eye could see on each side. And my heart just was broken because I saw all those people. And listen, you see them at 5 o'clock on vacation. They're fighting to get into a restaurant. What's going to happen when those seven seals are broken? They're not going to make it. They're absolutely not going to make it. And I had that thought process, and I came back and preached a message. There was another time when Amy and I were on a cruise, and I was doing what I love to do best on the ship. I was standing at the rail looking at the beautiful blue water when I remembered the scripture that all the seas would be turned to blood one day. And one day when the new heaven and the earth, new earth comes, there'll be no more seas. And I stood there and I'm like, God, well, you know, I'm trying to enjoy this. Why are you telling me this now? And I came back and I preached another message. Well, last week, the message that I received had nothing to do with end times as in times past. The message I believe God placed on my heart had to do with a very specific act that takes place every single day. It's an act of the heart. It's an act of the heart. Now, before I read the scripture, I just want to, you know, get you in the right gear. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit of God comes and indwells you. He comes to live in your heart. He's the one that leads, guides, and directs you. He's the one standing when you're going the wrong path. He says, hey, come on, boy, get back this way. He's the one when you walk into some place that you have no business being, he screams out to you, you're a child of God, get out of here. The Holy Spirit of God is living in each one of us who have accepted Christ as our personal Savior. So he's in our heart. But what I want to ask you is this, what else is in your heart? The Holy Spirit of God desires to control you through your heart, but I want to ask you, what else is in your heart? Now, I want you to understand something. I have a garden beside my house. And right now there are jalapeno peppers, bell peppers, there are banana peppers, there are three different types of tomatoes, and we've got sunflowers surrounding the garden. You know how all that stuff got in the garden? I put it there. Thank you, Miss Edie. I put it there. Now, the Holy Spirit is in your heart, and he is there leading, guiding you, direct you, but everything that's else that's in your heart, guess how it got there? You put it there. So this morning, I want to see if we can figure out what it is that's inside our heart. So let's look at Matthew 15. We're going to start reading in verse 10. Matthew 15 and verse 10. Matthew writes, summoning the crowd, he told them, listen and understand. It's not what goes in the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then the disciples came and told him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard this statement?" And Jesus replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father did not plant will be uprooted. Leave them alone," being the Pharisees. "Leave them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind guide the blind, both will fall into a pit." Then Peter replied to him, "Explain this parable to us." He just didn't understand. And Jesus said, "Are even you still lacking in understanding?" he asked. "Don't you realize that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. And this defiles a man. For from the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, sexual immoralities, thefts, false testimonies, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile a man." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for this day. And Lord, we ask you one more time to forgive us of our sins and where we fail you. Lord, we pray that you would bless the reading of your scripture. These are your holy words, and we thank you for them, that you wrote them, and Lord, they were written for us that they might apply to us today as well. So, Lord, I pray that you would wake us and shake us. Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning to hear a word from you, that we might glorify your name that much, much greater, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be here this morning to worship you. In Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said, amen. Church, do you understand what it is that Jesus is saying here this morning? Do you understand what Jesus is saying here? Now, please, as we start to break down this, don't be mad at me because I'm preaching this sermon. Please understand that as we break these verses down, that is what Jesus said, not me. Tony, have you ever had to say that when you preach? And say, "Liz, don't get mad at me. This is what Jesus said. This isn't what I'm saying." What does our scripture tell us this morning? Now, again, I want to remind you that we're searching the heart this morning. And the Holy Spirit's in there, Dan. But whatever else is in there, Josh, we put in there. We put in there ourselves. And there's a lot of things in our hearts that God did not intend for us to put in our hearts. So what does our scripture say this morning? Well, we first see in verse 10 that Jesus does something. Well, he's always doing something. What he does is this: he summons the crowd. Now, why would Jesus summon the crowd? Why is he summoning the crowd? Well, the easy answer would be that they were dispersed and he wanted to get their attention. And that's true. But the answer is a bit more in depth if we understand the conversation that had just taken place with Jesus and the scribes and the Pharisees in verses 1 through 9. And this is what had happened. Jesus was minding his business, Stan. And these scribes and Pharisees came up to him and says, "Look, you know, we've got an issue. We want you to do something." And Jesus said, What's the issue? I mean, y'all always have an issue, and I always have to deal with it. What is it now?" And they said, "Well, your followers are eating with unwashed hands." They're eating with unwashed hands. So as Jesus spoke to them directly at first, then he's like, "Okay, this needs to be talked about a little more thoroughly." Y'all see what I'm saying? This needs to be talked about a little more thoroughly. Jesus was going to address this topic while it was hot, while it was fresh on his mind and on the minds of those who heard the conversation between him and the Pharisees and the scribe takes place. Look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. It says, "Then the Pharisees and the scribes came to Jerusalem to Jesus and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders?" That was their issue. Why are they breaking the tradition of the elders? For they don't wash their hands when they eat. And he answered them, "And why do you break God's commandment because of your tradition?" You see, they were looking at tradition, and Jesus, he went right to the heart of the matter. He said, "Why are these traditions more important than God? Why are they? Church, we need to look in our hearts and find out what we've placed there that God has not placed. And we call them at times traditions. And we say these traditions are very important, but they never supersede the Word of God. And if the Word of God says, hey, you need to get rid of them, guess what you need to do? Quickly. You need to get rid of them quickly. Church, Jesus was done with these people. He loved them and truly desired that they come to know Him as their Messiah. But He was done with these people, creating a barrier for others from coming to know Him. What was causing it? It was a heart issue with them. They didn't want to relinquish anything. They didn't want to relinquish any of the seats in the Senate and the temple. They wanted to have complete and control power of control. And when Jesus came in and said, listen, I am the one that you've been looking for, and all the signs pointed to it, Ricky, they were like, nah, if this happens, we'll have to lose. We'll take the back seat. It was a heart issue. It was a terrible, terrible heart issue. Now, notice to what Jesus adds as He summons the crowd in verses 3. He says, listen and understand. Jesus said, listen and understand. Jesus gives two commands here that those who were in the crowd, He says, listen to what I'm about to say and understand my words. He's trying to get their attention. Now, church, does this sound a bit familiar to you who are parents? Do you remember the times when your child had done something and you didn't like it all that much? What is it that you would do? You would look at them and maybe you'd grab their arm, right? You'd grab their face and make sure they were paying attention to you. And you would tell your child to come to you. And when you would say something like this, listen very closely to what I'm about to say, because this time I'm going to tell you this before I wear you out. This is the last time I'm going to be telling you. Any of y'all had that conversation? Did any of y'all get that conversation when you were younger? Oh, yeah. I remember my dad was spontaneous. He was push button. When it was on, it was on. When you crossed the line, it was on like Donkey Kong. It was no getting over it. But mom would look and she'd say, listen to me. Pay attention. You're not going to get another warning. This is it. She was nicer than dad. Church, what Jesus was about to say was very important, and He wanted those in the crowd's utmost attention. We today need to pay attention. We need to pay attention to this. Don't you be falling asleep this morning. We need to pay attention this morning because it was recorded for us and it is now directed to us. So let me ask you a question, just as Jesus did. Are you listening? We're talking about something very important this morning, Mary Beth. We're talking about a heart issue. Are you listening? Now, here's the issue Jesus is addressing. Here it is. Following the tradition of the elders, the scribes and the Pharisees were more concerned that His disciples were filthy because they did not always wash their hands before they would eat. This almost seems more relevant to us in the day that we live in with a virus surrounding us. These Jewish authorities felt His disciples were defiling themselves by eating food with unwashed hands. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you consider dirty? What do you consider dirty? Or what thought comes to your mind when thinking of the word defiled? You know, we all have stereotypes. It's not coincidental. It's not coincidental that this week when I was working on this message, we had a man from the neighborhood come and ask for groceries. He came and asked for stuff from the food pantry. And he hadn't eaten in a while. You know how I could tell he hadn't eaten in a while? Because when I gave him the groceries, he immediately opened the can of peaches and he took the spoon that I gave him and he sat on the chair out in front of the door and he started eating. Y'all know what I noticed? Immediately I noticed this. His hands. His hands looked like mine when I got out of the foundry. They were black. They hadn't been washed. Now, let's bring this message home, because what the Pharisees and the scribes were saying, this is what I should have done when this man came and he was hungry. This is what I should have done according to the scribes and the Pharisees. When I saw him crack that can, I should have slapped it out of his hands and said, get up from where you are and go wash your hands, because what you're doing is defiling in the sight of God. The man's hungry. I mean, I didn't realize how hungry he was. There's times when there's stuff in the refrigerator from a social before, and somebody comes and I know they're hungry. Listen, I'll go make them a plate. Really. Some of those hot dogs that are left over, Donna, I'll go warm them up some hot dogs. And I'm not trying to pat my... Listen, what we need to do, is this an issue of the heart, is feed them. Not look at their exterior and what's taking place around them. Listen, we don't need to... Oh, look, he's a filthy bum. No. Listen to me, child. They're a child of God. Just as much as you are. God loves them just as much as he loves you. Well, hold on a second, Brother Kyle. I come to church on Sunday morning. I come to church on Sunday night. Sometimes I come to church on Wednesday night. I sing in the choir. I'm a deacon. I'm this. I'm that. Listen, God could care less what you do here. He's more interested in what you do out there. It's a heart issue. You should all want to come and do everything here, but he's more interested in what you do outside these four walls. It's a heart issue. Now, church, we need to be very careful how we talk about people for several reasons. The first being that I don't care who you're talking about. I don't care how bad they are, what they have done and what they have not done. Listen, I don't care if they may cuss God in your face, but you need to understand that they are still loved by God. We are defiled by what comes out of our mouths. When we start running our mouths about them, what Jesus was saying right then to the Jewish authorities is, you are the ones who are defiled, not them. That's what we see him saying without him saying a word. He's saying, look, you know, they're not defiled because they didn't wash their hands. What is in their heart is what defiles a man. Now, listen and understand what it is that Jesus is saying in verse 11. Look at verse 11. He says, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Now, let's draw a picture. It's not just in what goes in the mouth that defiles a man. It's what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man. We then immediately see in verse 12 that the Jewish authorities were offended. See, it's nothing different. We think, well, you know, everybody is so offended these days. They were offended back in those days as well, I guess, just as easily. Why? Why were they offended? Because Jesus was speaking the truth. He was pushing aside man's traditions and dictating spiritual truths, and they did not like it. Can I tell you how many times that I've heard of people leaving the church because the preacher hurt their feelings? Not by preaching traditions, but for preaching the truth. They get mad. They get their feelings hurt. I can't believe the preacher talked about me. When the preacher wasn't even talking about them at all, Tony. He was just preaching the Word of God. Well, I'm offended. Well, you're offended in the Word of God? You're offended by what Jesus is saying? Church, listen to me. That's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Now, we then hear Jesus giving his followers a practical way to deal with people who are leading others astray by following the traditions of man instead of spiritual truths. Church, I need this. I need this. If you don't need this, I need this. Jesus was giving them practical examples of how to put aside the traditions of man and follow spiritual truths. Church, I need this. I needed to hear this because I'm guilty of trying to fix problems that are none of my business. Any of y'all the same thing? Same way? I'll see something or I'll see somebody write something and I try to fix it when it's none of my business. scroll on, walk away, close your ears, right? That's what we need to do. The truth is, my job is to try my best to live my life that others see Jesus in my life. It is my job to witness to others who God sets in my path, to tell them how Jesus has changed my life and how he can change their lives as well. I cannot fix people, but listen to what Jesus said in verse 13. Look at verse 13. He says this. He says, every plant that my heavenly Father did not plant will be uprooted. Leave them alone. Who's he talking about there? The scribes and the Pharisees who were running their mouth about eating without washed hands. He says, you know, are we to do something? Are we to talk to them? Are we trying to help them to understand? Or should we explain this to them in depth and detail so they'll be along with us and they'll understand why we believe what we believe? Jesus said no. He said, no. He said, leave them alone. They are blind guides, and the blind guide will lead the blind, and they will both fall into a pit. Just leave them alone. Leave them alone. That's hard, isn't it? That's hard. Just leave them alone. The Jewish authorities were trying to fix people by following the traditions of man, saying that they should not eat with unwashed hands. Peter is confused by Jesus' response in verse 15 and asks for a little more clarity. So Jesus spells it out for him once again in verses 15 through 20. Let's read it again. Verse 15 says, then Peter replied to him, explain this parable to us. Are even you still lacking in understanding, he asked. Don't you realize that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? What eliminates it in our stomach? The acids in our stomach. It's eliminated. Whatever you put in your mouth, it's eliminated. But what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. And this defiles a man. This is what defiles a man. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adultery, sexual immoralities, thefts and false testimonies, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile a man. I think Jesus really drove the point home, don't you, Dan? I mean, he made it simple. He made it simple for him. Now, the Jewish authorities, they couldn't be fixed. Listen to what Warren Wiersbe says about verses 16 through 20. He says, Peter is not content until he had an explanation of saying for the saying about foods. Patiently, the Lord explained the lesson again. Listen to me, church. Listen. The meaning may seem obvious to us, but it was shocking to the new Orthodox Jews. Whatever enters the mouth eventually goes into the stomach and comes out in human waste. Listen to this. Listen. Food never touches the heart. That's good stuff right there. Listen, food, and that was what they were going on about, this food with dirty hands going in the mouth. Food never touches the heart. But what comes out of the mouth begins in the heart. And these things defile a person. Do you know what this means, church? God wants us to give him our heart, not just our lip service. God wants us to give him our heart, not just our lip service. Now, let me go back to the beginning here. I told y'all that it never fails every time we go on vacation that God gives us or gives me a message, just burns in my heart, right? Well, this year while we were on vacation, and again, it was hot. It was very hot. We pretty much stayed in the pool during the day, overlooking the ocean. You couldn't get out and walk. There was a guy that we were with. He decided he was going to walk over to where they were doing construction, just 100 yards away from where we were standing. And he walked over there and walked back, and he got a big old blister on the bottom of his foot. because that sand was that hot. I mean, it was hot. There's no way I can, y'all just trust me. I'm not embellishing. It's hot. So whereas we're in the pool, we get to meet different people. And I want to tell you, I kind of go incognito. I don't, you know, jump in the vacation environment because I am in their environment. They're not in my environment, all right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? So when they ask me what you do for a living, I don't just blurt out, well, I'm a preacher. I'm, you know, y'all are all going to hell. I've been listening to what y'all are saying. I no. So I kind of just blend in. But when they finally do ask me what I do for a living, I say, well, I'm in a ministry-oriented services. Truth. Because I don't want them to, you know, well, he's a preacher. You know, he's a preacher. People, y'all act funny when the preacher's around. You do. Y'all are always on your best behavior. Straighten up. Hide stuff. So this is what I noticed. I see people wearing crosses. You know what that's supposed to mean, right? That's supposed to mean that you identify and you're telling the world that you are a Christian. That you identify with the Savior who died on that cross. Right? And I'm men and women wearing these crosses. I saw women wearing earrings, crosses. I saw guys with very ornate tattoos of the cross or the face of Jesus on their arms. And they're all identifying with Jesus Christ. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem. Who they said they were identifying with their ornamental jewelry or their tattoos, was not matching with what was coming out of their mouths. Now, Amy's tried to tell me, because I guess I live in a bubble. She says the most favorite word of all times and the day that we live in is the F word. I mean, people drop the F bomb like crazy. And me trying to be, I guess, a good person, I don't want to believe that, Stan. But after last week, I believe it. Sitting there in that pool, I saw so many people that identified themselves outwardly as a Christian, but what was coming out of their mouths had nothing to do with Christ. You see, understand me, Christian. Understand me, church member. Understand me. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. What comes out of your mouth is who you really are inside. Cursings and blessings should not come out of the same mouth. You are identifying as a Christian. Be a Christian. You see, the issue we're dealing with is here, this heart issue, is Jesus wants you to give him your heart, not your lip service. He wants you to be the same person. It doesn't matter who you are around. The same things ought to come out of your mouth. It doesn't matter who you're around. Right? But Kyle, you know, listen, well, I mean, I have a military background, and sometimes it just slips. The closer you get to Jesus, the less it ought to slip. The more of Jesus is in your heart, the less it's going to slip. Do you hear me? This is a heart issue, church. Now, as this is a heart issue, let me ask you, what's in your heart will come out of your mouth. What is it that's in your heart? If that's the case, Miss Dale, if what is in your heart is going to come out of your mouth, what's in your heart? The praises or curses come out more frequently. Do you know my Jesus? Because if you know my Jesus, he's making you new and better every single day. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we praise you for who you are. And Jesus, we thank you that you recorded this as a guide for us to see the clear path of who we ought to be in you. Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us this morning right now to search our hearts. Help us to search our hearts and help us to see ourselves as you see us this morning during this time of invitation. And God, I pray that you would help us. If we see anything in our heart that shouldn't be there, Lord, help us to get rid of it, that we might be fit vessels to glorify you in your name each and every day. It doesn't matter who's in front of us, Lord. Our speech will glorify you because you are truly in us. Help us this morning right now to search ourselves. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come and just spend some time at the altar? I invite you to come. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I pray that you would come down and let me show you what the Bible says each person must do to be born again. Will you come?